you show me, because we're going to use some hermeneutics, can you show me anywhere in the Old Testament where that word perpetual is not perpetual? Because, yes, again, I understand you're appealing. Again,
sure.
Hold on. God's laws, where any of God's laws.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. I thought I was going to get to have a talk here.
You asked a question.
Hang on a second, sir. Be quiet now. Okay. Hang on a second.
Well, there you go. I will mute you because it's not your show. You asked the question. I'm going to give you the answer. Genesis 6:4, the word olam is used referring to those who were of old. Deuteronomy, just rattle off all the ones where it's used, not referring to perpetual. Genesis 6:4, Deuteronomy 32:7, Joshua 24:2, 1 Samuel 27:8, Job 22:15, Psalm 24:7, 24:9, 25:6, 41:13, 77:9, 90 verse 2, 103 verse 17, 106 verse 48, 119:52, 143 verse 3, Proverbs 8:23, Proverbs 22:28, Proverbs 23:10, and Ecclesiastes 1:10. Should I go on for more?
Blah, 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 blah.
This is Apologetics Live. To answer your questions, your host from Striving for Eternity Ministries, Andrew Rappaport.
Blah, 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 blah. That one always cracks me up. That was his most intelligent response to the fact that Scripture did not agree with anything that he was spewing. That was a fun one. Oh, that was many years ago. That was with R.L. Salzberg on his book, Torahism, which was answering kind of the Hebrew Roots movement. That was a long time ago. We got to get him back on. He's got a new book out, so we should do that. And he got a debate, actually, with someone who I can't seem to debate. The guy wanted to, was very excited, but then found out my debates and didn't want to, I guess. That was Rabbi Tovia Singer. But welcome to Apologetics Live. We should have started off that way. I am your host, Andrew Rappaport. We're here to answer any question that you have about God and the Bible. In fact, I make the bold claim to say that I can answer any question that you have about God and the Bible. And if you doubt that, well, my challenge to you is to come on in and give me your hardest question. Whatever you think I just can't possibly answer, give that to me and we are going to see. And if you give me something really, really hard, I may actually say, I don't know. And I also believe that's a perfectly good answer. So if I answer with that, I have answered your question. All right, we're going to be talking tonight about the New Age movement with someone that I've just recently been able to get to know. I was blessed with the privilege of being on her show, and I'm going to bring her in. It's Doreen Virtue, and I think I told you this, Doreen, but when was it you did the interview with Justin Peters? How long ago was that?
That would have been 2019.
Yeah, because it was pre-COVID. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So he told me that I should have you on. And I had in my to-do list since then that I was to call you. And yeah. I forget how we got hooked up, but it was like, all right, let's just talk and set this up.
Yeah. I think it had to do with the G3 conference or something.
Yeah. Doreen, I'm glad to have you in. And for folks who don't know you, don't know your background, and I want you to explain your background. Like I had told you, I didn't, before you did that with Justin, I didn't know anything about you. And really what got me into looking up your background and trying to figure it out was you had Justin on and you had one of his haters, Joshua Chavez. He goes by Service Christie on YouTube. And I refer to him our entire evangelism team that met him in New York referred to him as the effeminate hairdresser because he just came off very effeminate to all of us. And he managed a hairdresser, a hair salon. And so when people couldn't remember his name, that's what he was referred to as. But he was going after Justin, and it was interesting. He took clips of your interview with Justin, and because of what he did, I went and watched your whole interview with Justin and realized what he did was he was trying to claim that you were still in the New Age movement, as if you're still believing in it, still having dreams and things. And Justin speaks against that stuff. And he was trying to say, Justin went on your show and you're still believing this stuff. And you were like, you were talking about stuff you had believed and it was years ago. And then he was taking clips of stuff that wasn't from there, you know, from the, that interview. It was really very creative editing he did, we'll say. But if you listen to the whole interview in context, what he said, yeah, it wasn't accurate. But so that was where I first heard of you and heard a little bit of your background. But you may be new to my audience. And so I want to first give you an opportunity to share your background and then how did you come to know Christ?
Oh, thank you for having me on this program, and hello, everybody. It's an honor to be here, and to be a born-again evangelical Christian is a miracle. It definitely wasn't on my life list. It was all God, 100% our sovereign, merciful God who saved me out of a lifetime of deception. I was raised as a fourth-generation Christian Scientist, which is neo-Gnosticism, and just heretical beliefs about Christ as a mortal man, a created being who was a role model for us. And my mom was basically the preacher of our church. They call it a reader at Christian Science, but I grew up just so liberal and heretical. And I was told we were Christian because we were going to church twice a week. I had a King James Bible we read from every day out of context. And I didn't understand the old Elizabethan language very well. And then from there, I just grew up and became a psychotherapist. I got a BA and an MA in psychology from Chapman University. And I was doing psychotherapy. And I wrote a bunch of psychology books. And then I was invited to become a speaker with the Whole Life Expo, which was this roving band of mind, body, spirit teachers who went to convention centers around North America and gave inspirational talks. And at that point, I was a Christian Scientist, not a New Ager. But in my off time, when I wasn't speaking, I would go to visit the booths they had on the convention room floor that were all New Age. And they were like nothing I'd ever seen before. There was copper brass pyramids you'd put on your head and chakra clearing and tie-dye this and that and yoga and Reiki. And I was just really curious about it. So I started researching and talking to these folks and learning and taking classes. And the more that I would learn, the more I would then share it with others. And pretty soon I was teaching this New Age material to others, and I was using it myself. So I became a Reiki master. I was a psychic. I was well known for these cards that had angel images on them, very similar to tarot cards. And so by the time that God saved me, I was at the peak of my career, which I think is really amazing, because if I was going down in my career, people could rightly say, oh, she's a has-been, she wants attention. But I was at the very peak of my New Age career. I, at that point, was one of the top New Age teachers, according to the Watkins list that came out every year, and the most influential, top 10 most influential New Age teachers. And I was touring with all the New Age teachers, you know, the Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, all the famous psychics. They were my friends. We were touring all over the world together. First class, I was similar to Costi Hinn's testimony, where it was all limousines and first class penthouse suites and, you know, just the living the life of like a rock star. But still thinking I was a Christian from my Christian Science days, still thinking that I was following Jesus. And I had no idea until I finally read the Bible that I was breaking God's commandments. But even more, when I read Deuteronomy 18, I realized that I was a detestable abomination to God for practicing divination, mediumship, and interpreting omens. And that was the moment that broke me, and I was finally repentant and knew that I was a just wretched sinner. And I just prayed to God for forgiveness and that Jesus would take over my life as my Lord and Savior. That was late 2017, September 2017. I was already a public figure. I was on all the time. I was on YouTube and Facebook and everything. And I'd written all these books and cards in the New Age. And so I made the decision against some discipling. I should have gone away for 3 years, like Paul, to Arabia, but I stayed in the public eye. And I had super bad theology, as one might expect coming out of a lifetime of deception like that. I'd been having visions my whole life, and I'd had this one vision before I was saved that I thought was Jesus, and of course it's not, and it just took a while for me to sort through. I ended up going to seminary so I could learn theology the right way, and I went for 2.5 years full time to Western Seminary, where I got a master's degree in biblical and theological studies. With highest honors, which was a miracle to me, because if I had gone to seminary before I was saved with my old heart, I would have got straight F's. But just God revealed the gospel to me, and I was so hungry, I still am, for his word, that I just drank up seminary and just, oh, it was like going to a feast. And so poured myself into all these papers you have to do in seminary and learning, and just to learn how to rightly divide God's word, and also to get feedback from my professors. Am I understanding this correctly? And so here I am, just warning people about New Age deception, because after I was saved, I naively thought that all churches would be pious and just biblical. Silly me.
Yeah.
And I was so shocked to see that so many of the churches were identical to the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival world that I had just come out of, where instead of calling these folks psychics on stage, they called them prophets. But they were nothing like the biblical prophets who call people to repentance. They were like the psychics saying, oh, here's your soulmate, you get a promotion at work. They would throw in this Bible verse from Esther, you know, you're born for such a time as this. They stroke people's egos. That's what psychics do. And so I've just been ever since then warning people that the New Age, it cannot blend with Christianity. It's like drinking of the cup of demons and then drinking of the cup of the Lord. You can't blend the two, because New Age is all about glorifying yourself. It's all about positive affirmations and I'm perfect, whole, and complete, where Christianity is 100% about glorifying God. So those polar opposites can never be blended, ever.
So did you have opportunities? I mean, you're with Deepak Chopra and these others. Did you have opportunities after you get saved to share the gospel with them? And if so, how did that go?
I was pretty much shunned.
Right away?
And ghosted. Yeah, right away. I'm pretty sure my ex-publisher, who fired me immediately, I'm pretty sure that they were given a do not talk with her clause. But every now and then I hear from a New Age teacher who says to me, Jesus is calling me too. And so, of course, I will pray for them and share the gospel and encourage them. But it's, you know, this is something that when you are successful as a New Ager or anything like a celebrity, anything ungodly, and the devil pays a lot of money to be ungodly, to leave that whole lifestyle is all God that gives you the strength to do that. Because I had employees I had to let go of, my family, a lot of them are still New Age and won't talk to me. My friends won't talk to me. I was laughed at by both New Agers and Christians when I first came out. The New Agers laughed at me because I'm now talking about this, you know, the patriarch, they think it's all patriarchal. They have a lot of arguments why Christianity can't be true. And then the Christians were laughing at me because my theology, I was a baby Christian, you know, just, I shouldn't have been in the public eye. And so I didn't fit in anywhere in the beginning. The only people who friended me in the beginning were some hyper charismatics who were into Smith Wigglesworth work. And oh. I am just so grateful to God to pointing me away from that.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's interesting because we think of the folks that are involved in New Age and the spiritualism as being so tolerant and loving toward others. And yet just because you had a change in your belief system, they didn't want to talk to you?
They didn't want to talk to me. And I got hate mail every day. I would get, because I get all my mail on Instagram direct messages, and I would get maybe 5 to 10 hate letters a day on Instagram in the beginning, just cussing me out from the Love and Light community that the day before had said that I was a goddess, that God had sent me into their life because my work was comforting them. They were so angry with me. It was really scary in the beginning. And And then plus our whole life was disrupted. I'd gotten fired. And so we had to give back this ranch in Hawaii that we were buying from this couple. And we had to move. And I had my parents that I'd been elderly parents. I cared for them for 7 years. So we had to scramble and find a place that would be good for them. And so just it was like going to a different planet or different country for a while. And everyone's speaking Christianese. I don't know that language. I know New Age language, but no, Christians don't know it. And I'm going to church in tie-dye goddess gowns, you know, my old New Age clothes. So it was so foreign to come out of all that and to be in this new culture. Of course, now I wouldn't trade it for anything. And praise the Lord, I've got a solid church that I'm under, a really solid pastor. And I've got amazing sisters in Christ who've come around me and they know my story and they still love me. So I've been making Christian friends and it's such a blessing. To go to the G3 conference recently in Atlanta, Andrew, that was so amazing because I used to speak in that convention center. I used to be on that stage as a heretic. And to go back there and to be receiving and saturated in God's word and the worship music with, we had 8,000 people there all singing these hymns that I now know, I wouldn't have known them a few years before. It was so heavenly to go in that atmosphere. I just loved it.
Yeah, I can agree with both. When I became a Christian, yeah, the Christianese, I still remember the first time for Resurrection Sunday that someone walked up to me, you know, because if you're raised in a Christian church, you know, Resurrection Sunday, you know, someone says, "He is risen," and you're supposed to respond, "He is risen indeed." And so someone walked up to me, you know, "He is risen." And I went, "Yes, he has." I'm like, "No, you're supposed to say this." I'm like, "Why am I supposed to say that?" Because that's what you're supposed to say. But why am I supposed to say that? You're like, I'd have people like, "Oh, you need a Christmas tree." And I've to this day said, I'll be glad to get a Christmas tree if someone can give me a good reason why I need a Christmas tree other than the fact that they grew up with one. I didn't grow up with a Christmas tree. I grew up with a menorah. You know, I think you need to light 8 candles over 8 days and sing in Hebrew. You know, it's like, you know, so much of it, we have language we don't think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my husband and I had been Episcopalians before we were saved. It's a long story, but just in brief, God started calling me out of the New Age in 2015. And I heard an Alistair Begg sermon on 2 Timothy 4 at the end times. People will want their itching ears tickled by false teachers. And then he went on to describe a false teacher, and it was like he was describing me. And so I said to my husband, you know, there's some, God convicted me with that Alistair Begg sermon in 2015. So I said to my husband, you know, I think we need to start going to a regular church, because we'd been going to New Age churches. And he's like, "Okay, let's do it." He was raised Methodist, and back when before it's like it is now. So we started to go to different churches, and we were living in Hawaii, and the churches there are super liberal, and they have the Hawaiian culture mixed in with Christianity. So you've got prayers to the Hawaiian gods and goddesses and such. And anyway, so we ended up in an Episcopalian church, which is Episcopalians are renowned for their hospitality. And, you know, we're Reformed Baptists now. I don't think I could have gone from New Age to Reformed Baptist immediately. I think I would have whiplash. So the Episcopalian was a nice coast into Reformed Baptist. And so they did that. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And thanks be to God. And this is the word of God. They did all those rituals there. So I knew a little bit of that from the Episcopalian time. But when I was saved, I don't know. It was just like such culture shock to have all my former friends and some of my family stop talking to me and to learn how to trust in the Lord who I'd never know. I didn't know him before. I thought I knew Jesus, but I knew him the wrong way as the progressive Jesus, that he's a wish granter everything goes with this Jesus as long as you're positive and you don't hurt anyone. And I absolutely did not know God. Christian Science taught us that God was mind, like an energy. Mm-hmm. And that's what New Age teaches too, that God is source or the universe. And so my first step when as a Christian was, who is God, and studying his attributes and just reading that whole Bible from front to finish. And I've been reading it every day ever since. And then at night we listen to a book of the Bible at night. And that's been really helpful, by the way, for spiritual warfare, which is something that a lot of people deal with for the first time consciously after they leave the New Age, that all of a sudden these demons who were masquerading as angels of light when you were a New Ager, the demons are super restless and unhappy, apparently, that you've now left them for Jesus. So the spiritual warfare was horrible in the beginning, and I didn't know what to do. So I got involved with deliverance ministry initially. I didn't have discipleship to tell me that deliverance ministry is a scam, it's a waste of time and money, and that Jesus delivered us on the cross through his shed blood. So, and I also didn't know that in the Bible is all the instruction we need for spiritual warfare. So I went to deliverance ministry, and it would make things temporarily seem better, these people casting out demons from me, but then it would get worse again. And so I'd go to the next deliverance ministry, same thing. And all the while, these deliverance ministries are aggressively pushing that you give them money, donations, but it's like they're charging. And the third man that I went to, named Bob Larson, I had an online session with him where he waves around this wooden cross in front of you on the screen, and he's dressed in a priest garb. And that was expensive. You had to pay up front for that. And so none of these things were working. And that's when I turned to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 to put on the armor of God and started listening to audios of the Bible every night and mortify sin, pray, resist the devil and he will flee. It's all the instructions are there, and it's free of charge, and it works because it's biblical.
Yeah. So, you know, we got some comments here that, let me see if I can get them up on screen. Let's see, where did we put that? So some of these will encourage you, and then I've got some questions in here for you as well. So here's Kathy is saying, I follow her, meaning you obviously, to learn about the New Age that crept into the church. Mm-hmm. She said, we're so glad you're doing this show.
Thank you, Kathy.
KT and Jesus. That's a different question. I'll get to. So let me just answer that. So I put it up. KT, I could try to get Kevin on. I don't know if we're going to do any more. There was a video or an audio that Kevin found. For folks who don't know who Kevin is, Kevin was on. We did a series with him. He was a deacon in a church that we discovered was a cult, and mm-hmm. So there is a response audio that after we had done those series of shows that that basically he was, Tony Miano was responding to some of the things we said, and they were woefully out of context. So we talked about maybe doing one more show, but it'd be good to have him on. Okay, Linda said, love my new sister in Christ, had the privilege of meeting her at G3.
Hi, Linda. Great to see you, sister.
Yeah. And then we have Melissa, who said, I am very grateful for Doreen Virtue and her ministry. Mm-hmm. She is a precious sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you. That's so encouraging. Thank you.
We have a good guess who this next comment is from, but we also know why we have to call him what we call him. Facebook user says, Facebook user is usually Mr. Haps Addison, and I'm going to assume that's who it is from the context of this state of the comment here. He says, I met her at G3. We invited her over to Jeff's booth and took a picture. Love her testimony. So Haps was working at Jeff's booth, but Haps Addison, who is a great brother, you'll remember him, Doreen, because you'll never be able to forget him once you see him. He's got the long beard. Actually, he and Jeff, they kind of go with a real long beard, long hair. Real. Both of them have that real like Southern kind of laid back. Jeff does the Bible rebindings. Haps is or Happy, he's called. But he doesn't seem to ever want to follow the rules, because if he went to apologeticslive.com like we instruct him every single
week, he would be able to put give permission to Facebook so we could see his name. So we know that's you, Haps. Even though Drew's not here, we know that's you.
I have.
We got to give him a hard time when we can, too. All right. So here's a question for you that was asked is, where did the term Christian Science originate?
From the devil. It's neither Christian nor scientific.
That's a line I always use.
It's Mary Baker Eddy. She actually plagiarized Phineas Quimby.
Really?
And there was a lawsuit. This is a fascinating, troubling history of Phineas Quimby was a mesmerizer, they called it back then, a hypnotist, who went around doing shows of how he could somehow heal people. Very much word of faith. Somehow Kenneth Hagin is connected to him. I haven't got the complete link. Stephen Kozar knows the story, though, if you ever want to ask him.
Okay.
But Phineas Quimby taught Mary Baker Eddy and then the founders of Unity Church and Divine Science Church. And also there's a lot of connections of a lot of false New Age teachers have a Christian Science connection, including Helen Schuchman. She was Jewish and somehow Christian Science, who channeled the heretical book called A Course in Miracles. Okay. That was popularized by the former presidential candidate Marianne Williamson, who I used to tour with. And it's the supposed channeled book from Jesus explaining what the Bible really means. And almost every New Ager reads this book, A Course in Miracles. It was popularized by Oprah. So Christian Science is absolutely a plagiarism of something that seems to work. It's like a lot of New Age and deceptive products. It seems to work. In fact, that's what I had interviewed Justin about, was how come sometimes people go to a false healer and it seems like they really get healed. And Justin said it's really nuanced, that there's demons that can actually create the situation that seems to be an injury or a sickness. And then the demons lead the person to a false teacher, and then they leave the oppression. So the person seems to have gotten a healing, but really they've just no longer been spiritually oppressed. And then they get hooked into that false teacher. I thought that was so fascinating.
Yeah, and it originated, as you said,
Mary Baker Eddy.
Mary Baker Eddy. And so she had, and she, I mean, it's kind of a mind over matter type of thing. Mm-hmm. I remember reading on her deathbed, even on her deathbed, she couldn't admit that she was dying because that would, I guess, undo everything she taught. So she supposedly, her last words were, "Tell my followers that I'm committing mental suicide."
Yeah, it's a nutso theology, but I was steeped in it. I was raised in it. And so it's neo-Gnostic in that they believe that matter and the body do not really exist. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
And they also do not believe in Genesis 3 at all. They think it's just a lie. And so there's no talk about the fall or crucifixion or sin or repentance or hell. It's all about cherry picking what they believe are the positive, in air quotes, it's talk that Jesus did about healing. And that's all they focus on. And they think that Jesus was giving us the key to learn how we can heal. And you're right. My parents were married for 62 years. When my dad died, my mother did not shed one tear because she said he wasn't dead. And then she died about 2.5 years ago. And I just pray that, like the thief on the cross, she somehow repented before she died, because it is heretical and blasphemous. Fortunately, it's a dying religion. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that came out of the 1800s, though. The 1800s was a big time of apostasy with Madame Blavatsky, who really was the grandmother of New Age deception that we have now, and Satanism.
Yeah, you know? And it's a thing where some refuse medicine, kind of like witnesses, but for a different reason. I mean, in their sense, it's their mind can fix it. You know.
Right. When we were growing up, we would never be allowed to go to doctors, and we were not allowed to go to health classes in school. We were put in art classes because the belief was if you learn about illness, you'll manifest it. So we were not allowed to listen to medical commercials. We were just complete mind control of only thinking positive thoughts. But the trouble is when you have this fear that if you have a negative thought, you're going to have a negative reaction, which is what the Law of Attraction and the Secret teach, by the way, that fear, how can you get saved if you won't have what seems to be the bad news or the negative thought that you're a sinner? And that was what kept me for so long from really realizing I was a sinner, because that just seemed so negative.
And if you thought it, that would make it true.
Make it true, but then you would attract, because in these new age thinking, you are the creator and you create your reality with your thoughts. And so that puts you in the seat of being responsible for everyone and everything. It's a horrible responsibility and burden. And also it makes all of your relationships, including with God, superficial, because you can never admit that there's any problems or negativity.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's similar to like in Mormonism, where it's like you have to have this perfect life on the outside, and yet on the inside, everyone's falling apart.
It's so sad.
Yeah, Frank says, he's saying, God has been working in pulling many high-profile New Age and neo-pagan influencers out of darkness in these last few years. It's amazing. I don't know, other than, you know, maybe he's referring to you, Costi Hinn. I don't know who else. Is there others that you know of that...
Well, I do know that when I was first saved, it was very lonely. I didn't know many people who'd come out of the New Age, except for Warren B. Smith, who's been an amazing mentor. And so now if you type in New Age to Jesus on YouTube, you'll pull up hundreds of testimonials.
Oh, okay.
So there has been somewhat of a mass exodus out of New Age.
Ali B. Stuckey just had on, and I don't Kat Von D, or I don't know the name. She did some TV show about tattooing. During You Don't Know This, this audience gets it. I'm pop culture illiterate, so no one expects me to know any of this. I only heard about her because it was mentioned, her baptism was mentioned in Daily Wire, but then I saw this interview and she had mentioned she had come out of a lot of that New Age thinking.
That's right.
And you know, I mean, a lot of times you get these people and... you find that they, well, you take someone like a Kanye West. It's like they make a profession of faith, and everyone like wants to rush them into the limelight, like they're going to be the one that can bring so many people to Christ. And I've always taken the position, let's wait, let's hold off. And
smart.
I don't you know, that was very helpful when. You know, we had, as folks know on this show, Lindsay Davis, and she supposedly came out of Bethel and came to the truth and was totally against Word of Faith and New Apostolic Reformation. And people were telling me, oh, you got to get her on your show. And I'm like, according to her testimony, she just got saved. Like, I'll give her at least a year. And I told her that. I spoke to her on the phone and said, like, I won't have you on, just so you know. And I told her, you shouldn't go on anyone's program. You know, but for good reason, because now we see she's totally promoting deliverance ministry, which we did have a question on with that. But
yeah, so yeah, I learned the hard way by interviewing Lindsay when she was first saved. She had just gone on Cultish, and so I learned that you've got the wisdom. Wait for a while before someone give, you know, to see the soil. Is there good deep roots there?
Yeah. And it seems like with this Kat Von D, you know, she was actually, it seems, saved for a while before she was even baptized, and had been, you know, she's not like coming out now and being like trying to build a platform, it seems. So
that's what I understand. And I'm sure praying for her.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to be a public person and come out. And she's been criticized for this recent vampire video that she did. And it's not my taste at all. But when I was first saved, I had contracts that I had to fulfill, that it wasn't like I could just immediately sever all these contracts. So I had this New Age kind of quasi-Christian video series coming out just as I was leaving the New Age. And then I had a couple speaking engagements that I had contracts that I'd already been paid for. And so I went to those New Age conventions. There was two of them, one in Australia and one in Hawaii. And I shared the gospel there. I thought, well, I'm just going to go into the anime camp.
That went over real well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, what happened was that the New Agers, because I was at a New Age convention, and the ones who were not there, who were just seeing it from social media, started to gossip about me. See, she's not really saved. She's at a New Age convention. But the people who were there saw that I was completely not teaching New Age. I was immediately sharing the gospel. And while we were in Australia for this, we went to Hillsong there in Sydney. And we were attracted to Hillsong because of the music, because I was listening to that kind of music when I was first saved, not knowing the difference. But even as a baby Christian, Brian Houston and his wife Bobby were on the stage and talking about how the worst thing happened to them, the very worst thing. And they said they just got back from vacation and their swimming pool was green with algae. And then they said, wait, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing that could happen to you is that you don't have a swimming pool. And then all of a sudden these signs light up on the stage with text this number to tithe to them. And they start just completely saying that if you tithe, you too can have a swimming pool. Ugh. And Bobby Houston is waving around her credit card and saying, you can be like me. I mean, it was complete prosperity gospel. And like I said, even as a new Christian, I could see that this was not biblical.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look. We got some more comments here that came up. Let's see. Melissa said, it really bothered me when I saw Christians attacking Doreen. We must be careful not to equate justification with sanctification when someone makes a profession of faith. And I think that's a good point. When I think a problem that many Christians have, Doreen, and I don't think they do this purposely, but when they've been a Christian for a long time, and especially I find this more with Christians that are not out evangelizing and discipling newer believers, they kind of forget where they've come from, you know, and they expect everyone to just know, like what we talked about earlier, the Christianese, they should just know that. Right.
Yeah, it was, well, I mean, I can see both sides now because I also, now I disciple women coming out of the New Age and a lot of them immediately want to become Instagram and TikTok influencers when they are babies. And so I discourage them from doing that. And yet that's what I was doing. And so I shouldn't have been out there. Yeah. Should have taken three years. I should have waited till I was, finished seminary. And also I was offered a publishing contract after I was saved 1 year with Thomas Nelson. And so I said, okay, and wrote this book when I just started seminary. And I mean, it's an okay book, but there's two parts that are absolutely serious issues that if I could pull back the paper book, yeah, would rewrite. They let me rewrite the Kindle, so that worked out. But new Christians need to be discipled.
Correct.
I mean, that's absolutely, and they've got to be in the Word every single day, and it's a big process. So thank you for that encouragement and that support. It was hard to be criticized by the Christians. It was confusing, but Christ gave me strength to keep going. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a time in my first church, there was a guy, he's probably in his late 50s, early 60s, and we had someone who had just gotten saved. I'm talking like within weeks. And the guy's sitting there, and he's got his Bible, and pastor has to turn somewhere, and he's doing this, and he's just flipping back the other way. And flipping and just, you know, and just going back and forth. And this one guy, he got so frustrated, who's sitting next to him with the pages flipping, he takes his Bible and just and shoves his Bible in the guy's face and like grabs that guy's Bible so he could turn to the page. And I was just like, you know, so afterwards, after service was over, you know, I didn't want to be embarrassing. So I talked to him privately, and I just said, hey, you know, I know what that struggle's like when you can't find your way through the book. I didn't know the New Testament at all, and the Old Testament's not organized the way it is in the Hebrew Bible. I said, but there's a neat thing, and I just showed him the table of contents. I said, that helped me tremendously. And then I had showed him that I had these tabs in my Bible that I put in, that actually helped me find my way around. That guy thanked me, and I turned to the older Christian. I said, Danny, do you remember when you were first saved? And he's like, yeah. I said, did you know your way around a Bible? He goes, no. I said, how would you have felt if someone shoved their Bible in your face the way you did that? And he was like, but he was flipping pages and it was frustrating me. I said, but you didn't have to do it. Like, you expect him to know what you know after walking with the Lord for 40 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I have this past of, I was 59 years old. I'm 65 now. I was 59 years old when I was saved. So I'd had multiple relationships. I had written something like 70 books in 38 languages that were all heretical New Age that were licensed to foreign countries and the U.S. publisher. And so people expected me to get all those things off the shelf when, if they were self-published, no problem, but they were published through publishers. And they, some of them are still for sale out there. And praise the Lord that I'm seeing that things are moving in the right direction. I just got a letter today I put up on Twitter that one of my foreign publishers has finally agreed to stop publishing my old stuff. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's 6 years of me working on this. So it just doesn't happen overnight. I met a woman who's a sister in Christ who used to be a porn star. And I asked her, I said, what's that like for you? Your porn movies are still out there. She said, it's similar that her old publisher of her movies will repackage them every now and then re-release them with a new title. And people say, aha, see, you're not a Christian because it's still for sale.
Yeah.
And this is just what happens when you've got a pass. So
people
who's, comes out of a public place like that.
People don't understand that the publishers own the rights. You give the rights away when you sign these deals. And once you do that, you have no more say in it.
No.
And so, yeah, I was going to mention, because I know when I was on your show, you had said before we started recording that you finally were going to be able to get one of the publishers to stop reproducing.
Yes.
So, Frank says this. Frank said, I got burned by charismatics in the Word of Faith circles for the better part of 10 to 15 years and finally ended up in a Reformed church. So we're glad, Frank, that you got out of that. I did the same thing. Now, this next comment, I have to admit, this next comment won't mean much to you. But it scares me. Christina says, wow, Doreen Virtue, I follow her. Now, the reason that this makes me nervous is this is my pastor's daughter-in-law, so...
Nice. Hi, Christina.
So she's watching. I mean, I gotta behave myself, Tina. Uh-oh. So Tina is really funny. So Tina, unbeknownst to me, I was in the Philippines preaching with Justin Peters. We're doing a conference at the Sky Dome. Tina had been recently saved and starting to get sound in her faith, and she decides that her and a friend are going to go to that conference. Okay. Fine, not a big deal. I mean, there were like 1,500 people there. So what ends up happening is her husband now, after that, she had gotten married to my pastor's son, and they're coming now stateside. They've been missionaries overseas. And so pastors and the wife pick up the kids from the airport, bringing them home, and they're just mentioning this new couple that's at church. And so my pastor's wife turns and says, mentions my name. And she goes, wait a minute, did he speak in the Philippines with Justin Peters? And so she goes, I don't know. Because, I didn't really, in my church, I didn't really let folks know the ministry so much. It was just, that's where I go to church. And so she's texting me and goes, did you speak in the Philippines? I said, yeah. She's like, back in April before COVID. She goes, was there a Justin Peters there? I said, yeah. She goes, oh, our daughter-in-law was there. So it was a small world. Yeah, it was real fun.
Such a small world. Amazing. Yeah.
So we have Sister Tara is asking, what is deliverance ministry? So you use that term. So I'll let you explain, unless you need me to.
And I know that you know quite a bit about it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So deliverance ministry is built on an unbiblical premise that Christians who have the indwelling Holy Spirit can also have a demon inside of them. And that's just not possible. But the deliverance groups now have morphed their theory because they've heard us argue that and say, well, we have a mind, body, and soul. So therefore, the demons are in the body, not in your soul where the Holy Spirit is. And that's what we used to teach in the New Age. We didn't call them demons. We called them earthbound spirits. And we used to say that they were in your tips of your toes, hiding in your body. And we would do this elaborate spirit releasement therapy. And it's identical to deliverance ministry. And it's a big, big money-making machine. Oh, yeah. It's huge. And they have movies and they have groupies and such and lots of theatrics. So they'll say that they're going to mimic what Jesus empowered the disciples to do. And they're going to cast out demons in Jesus' name. And then supposedly the person starts vomiting and throwing up and having seizures. And that's a sign that's positive that demons are coming out of them. And then you need maintenance to keep this going. The trouble is that if you look at the New Testament epistles after Acts, you never see anyone instructed to cast out demons at all. I mean, it's just not there. We've got the disciples who did it. And then one man that was recorded in the book of Luke that the apostle John was upset with because he was casting out demons in Jesus' name and he wasn't part of the inner circle. And you remember Jesus said, no, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But then that's it. There's no instructions in the New Testament for us to cast out demons. And there's also no born-again Christians anywhere in the Bible who have demons cast out of them. There's the demoniac. There's, you know, lots of demons that Jesus cast out, but they're not born-again Christians. So this whole premise just is not biblical, but they are just angry when we say that. Reminds me of in Acts 19 when Paul got in trouble with the silversmiths, remember? Because their income went down when he was sharing the gospel, and they're selling Artemis statues, and they try to kill him. And so it reminds me that this is a big industry that doesn't like to be called out, I think, is the bottom line.
Yeah, and so there's a lot behind it. So one of the things you have to realize with this is that every sin you do is not your fault. It's a demon's. Oh, it's a demon of drunkenness. It's a demon of pornography. It's a demon of this. You know, you have a Jezebel spirit. You know, it's all this stuff. The reality is what you see is really it's a form of Gnosticism from the first century. The idea that there's the physical body, if anything physical is evil, but anything spiritual is good. So the Gnostics taught that you could sleep with a prostitute, and as long as you didn't give your spirit over to it, you didn't sin, because just your body, and your body's evil anyway. And so you see some of that in this, where it's this idea that, you know, somehow you could separate your spirit from your flesh. And I mean, for folks to realize, why did Doreen say, well, a believer can't be possessed? Well, very simply, part of the covenant, the new covenant that we get to enjoy, is the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us. Scripture is clear that greater is he that is in you than is in the world. If we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we cannot at the same time be indwelt with a demon, because the Holy Spirit's not going to partake with that. So if you are saved, then you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. A demon can't possess you. And there's no, you know, I'll go a little further than Doreen did and say that there's no instruction for us to cast out demons. And someone's going to say, oh, but wait, Andrew, Mark 16. That's right, Mark 16. But keep in mind that I don't believe Mark 16, much of the ending, was in the original canon. Okay? Now some of the people are going, what? No, I'm not saying that, you know, we got a wrong Bible. I'm saying that we do have, there's actually four different endings to Mark. Mark ends very abruptly. And what we see in the different manuscripts is we see that there's four different endings to Mark. Okay. And what we have now is basically all of those endings kind of put together. All right. Let me read where the earliest manuscripts of Mark ends. In verse 8, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. Many people think that was just a strange way to end it, so they took different parts from other verse, other passages of the Gospels, and kind of put them in. We have a little bit of Matthew 28 in here and elsewhere. And so this is the only place that you have instruction to cast out demons. But I would argue that wasn't from God. This was what from men early on added to the book of Mark, just from the textual testimony that we have. Let's see, there were some more comments. And so Mr. Huff himself, who should be in here, just tell you this himself, but he says, so thankful. Thankful, by the way, is in all caps. So thankful for Doreen. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have met her at G3. Thank you for all you do. May the Lord continue to bless your endeavors.
Thank you, Brother Chris. I appreciate your ministry.
Yeah, if he could have been here to tell you himself. He also said this when we were talking earlier. He said, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And mm-hmm. anyone that says, hey, he sounds really eloquent what he said there. Well, actually, what he did was just quote Colossians 2:8.
Amen.
So we got Here I Stand Theology Podcast. He says, he or she, I should correct that because I don't know. Not that I'm saying that they haven't told me their pronoun, but I don't know who they are. Hello, Andrew. Hello, Doreen. I greatly appreciate the work that you all do for the Lord.
Oh, thank you. This encouragement is a blessing. Thank you.
And D says, I have profited a lot from Doreen's knowledge of the New Age. Also, and I don't know who this is.
Marcia Montenegro. She's one of my good friends who also was saved out of the New Age. She was a professional astrologer, and now she's a meticulous researcher for Christ.
Oh, really?
She writes amazingly detailed blogs every day from her Christian Answers for the New Age website and also her Facebook page. And I highly encourage people to follow her work because she goes into the weeds and shows why these New Age little methods and beliefs just don't stand up to scripture.
Yeah. So let's see, I'm going to go out of order because this is answering something we were saying earlier. Chris says, also, nowhere in scripture do you see that we're to address demons and Satan directly. We pray to God through the completed and ongoing work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that's true too. You know, I like what Justin Peters says in his talks. You know, for all the people that are binding Satan, instead of praying to bind Satan, we should just pray for the guy who keeps letting him loose.
yes. And Brother Chris makes such a good point because in these deliverance ministries and in these quasi-Christian movies like War Room, there's this modeling that you're supposed to say, not today, Satan, and you're supposed to talk to the demons and say, get away from me. But these are evil demons. They will manipulate people. They're not going to sit there and go, oh, okay, I'll go home then. Talking to them directly, I think, is spiritually dangerous. I absolutely agree with Brother Chris here, and we go to Jesus to cast out demons. And now I get letters from people who say they used to do deliverance ministry, but now they pray for Jesus to cast out the demons, and that is something that's completely effective with spiritual warfare.
You know, there's a account that John MacArthur talks of when someone came in his office and they had a woman who they said was demon possessed, and there were a couple men trying to hold her down, and big men. She was a small girl and they couldn't hold her down. And MacArthur went in there and people didn't know whether they should, what to do to cast the demon out. And MacArthur figured, well, if she has the Holy Spirit indweller, then the demon's got to leave. So he just preached the gospel and nice. She got saved and calmed down, you know? Yeah. So yeah. That's been my way. if I see all someone, right, I think is demon possessed, I'm going to give the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely. In the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. We're to turn to God, not to try to be this man-centered approach that deliverance ministries advocate for.
So let's see. So, I see that R&B Studios. He says, this is Claude Ramsey at the Here I Stand podcast.
I've been on his program. Yeah, he's got an awesome podcast. Hi, Claude.
Yeah, I've preached with him. So down at the Open Air Theology Conference. But he's now got two accounts. So he's in on a different account, Here I Stand. And, you know, so he's posting on that one too. So he's getting double action there.
Yes, Pastor Claude, yes.
Yeah. He's another one with that Southern, real nice, easygoing. He works, fits in real well in the New Jersey attitude. All right. Justin Pierce.
Oh, now, this is your life. These are my friends.
Yeah. Well,
I Pastor Justin.
Justin, we, you know, the fact that we have a comment here from Justin, folks, we should all give him a hard time, I think, because where's he been? He said he can't be here to help host, to co-host with me, you know, all this time because he's got school on Thursday nights. But yet, okay, so folks, we should do a poll. Is Justin playing hooky from school? A. B, is he not paying attention in class and just watching this show and commenting? Or C, should he just get in here and help host? You guys, I wonder if I think there's a way, and I could do a poll in this. I don't know if there's a way in here I can, but we should. All right, so Justin says, Doreen, it is so wonderful to see you here finally. I think that was a rip on me, the finally part. Thank you so much for everything you are doing, and thank you for having me on your show to talk about Halloween and the book, What a Blessing.
Yeah, no, so that came from you, Andrew. You actually posted about Justin's Halloween book on your Facebook page, and then I got the book, and then through that, I requested to interview Justin 2 years ago with my friend Jan Nizza, who was also saved out of the New Age 7 years ago, and his book is a blessing. I shared his interview again this year. And what I love about Pastor Justin is he confronts the church about their trunk or treat events that are kind of conforming to the world. And they're supposed to be an alternative to Halloween, but a lot of them, they're not sharing the gospel at. They're just basically making a so-called safe alternative to Halloween instead of an opportunity to witness. So I like his book a lot.
Well, I would say that at our church, it was not that case. We do a trunk or treat, and we have the trunks outside, and what we did this year was lead people in, and when they came in, we did have like an escape room, and we had an area for crafts, and I set up right in that area, and with my booming voice, everybody would hear what I'm saying if you wanted to or not. And so as parents are sitting around, I was doing good person tests with people one after another, and I had my IQ test, and I'd pull people in to take my IQ test. Then I'd give them the good person test. And so clearly we were using it for the gospel. We had,
praise the Lord,
one autistic young man, teenager. This was really interesting. I don't think I shared this here with folks on the show. But he was, I guess, giving people outside a really hard time. He was walking up to every trunk, and I think he probably has Asperger's. And so he was just going, God doesn't exist. And he was like shouting it to everybody. And so he came in, and I guess I didn't know that everyone was having problems with him outside because he was making a scene for everyone. So he comes in, and I'm sharing the gospel. So he starts, you know, shouting, God doesn't exist. He's getting angry. And I'm sitting there talking to him. I said, we can talk about that. And so Justin's saying, if I give him the code, he'll come in. Well, okay, I have to go look for the code. You should be able to sign in yourself there, Justin. So let's give him the code so he can come in and he can give his excuses. So I had this young man, and what happened was, is this guy was giving me a real hard time, you know, screaming, yelling, God doesn't exist. And I start to explain to him, I said, well, he says, prove to me God exists. And I said, I just looked at him. I said, you just did. He's like, what do you mean? I said, your ability to reason. You, how do you explain an immaterial thing like your ability to reason apart from God? You can't do that. And I started, you know, I started to get into, you know, the whole thing of, you know, the first law of thermodynamics. You can't, you know, the universe had a beginning, law of non-contradiction. The universe can't, you know, create. So there's the only choice is to have, you know, God existing. This is where I get distracted. So Cole, who is in the background, I was going to say that later. Cole is in the background. Folks, regulars are going to know who Cole is, but he created a poll. So let me share the screen. This will be funny, Doreen. Where is it? So here we go. He created a poll, and there it is. He says, does Andrew need a co-host? Jesus take the wheel 100%. That's a good one, Cole. I have to do that because I've given Cole a hard time in the past. So he gets me back. I have to show that. So this young man's family was really upset with him. See, I don't lose track of my of where I am, and but he gets really irate, really upset. His family is now like we're tired of it all night, I guess. And he called me an idiot, and you know, and his sibling was like, you know, will you stop telling people they're idiots? You know, just because people aren't as smart as you. And he looks at me and says, well, he is an idiot. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, I have 168 IQ, and I've passed the test for Mensa. Do you understand what that means? And he just like started looking at me. I said, yeah, it means I'm technically considered a genius. So before you call someone an idiot who's trying to explain to you things like thermodynamics and laws of logic, maybe you should learn to listen, because that's what a smart person would actually do. And this guy just like settled down. And then, you know, then he got irate again. His mother comes over and she's trying to like, she was all worried for me. And I'm like, I do this in New York City. Like, this is not going to bother me. I was like, I said to her, I said, look, you know, he's fine. She's like, really? I said, yeah, this isn't a problem. I'm happy talking with him. And she was like, wow, okay. She was like so happy she could walk around with the other kids. So let me bring in our used to be co-host here. So, who hasn't been here in so long that he didn't know how to log in, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know what my name is anymore. Hello, Doreen. How are you doing?
Hi, Pastor Justin. So great to see you, brother.
It is so great to see you guys.
Oh, look, he has a saint on his...
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what...
It's a shepherd from Shepherd's Theological Seminary.
Yeah, no, it looks like it's probably an idol you have.
I knew that one of you would take about 3 seconds and say, oh, second commandment. Yeah, I'm not under the law, but...
Yeah, I just wish you were under grace.
I'm so glad that you came in. It is...
Thank you.
It's so wonderful to have you in.
I appreciate the opportunity to glorify God, the fellowship, and the opportunity to call out New Age deception. Because it seems to be growing. It's such an issue.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And what's amazing is how it's interconnected so much with the word faith, the charismatic movement, and it's almost tied in just to the point where it's unreal how if you look at the two, you can almost not tell the difference.
Right, and NAR. Chris Vallotton, he's basically giving New Age talks most of the time. 100%. And so I have a couple of videos where I have Chris Vallotton talking, and then my old videos, and it's the same thing we're saying.
Yeah. It's the same thing. So sad. Andrew, you was asking about what I've been doing. So this stack is about a quarter of what I'm reading through for a term paper I'm writing on the charismatic movement.
Oh, wow.
And I'm writing a term paper on it for my final paper. And I have been studying. I listened to about 8 or 9 hours of Benny Hinn and these big giant mega church things, the different revivals and stuff.
And you're reading Holy Spirit Baptism by Anthony Hokanin, and you're reading the 9 Gifts of the Spirit by B.F. Kate. Yeah, because he sends me this stuff. like he wants to torture me. And
well, no, I actually want you to get these. I'm telling you, if you're going to be talking to Michael Brown, who actually was the is the one that affirmed the Brownsville revival, if you want to talk to him, get B.F. Kate's book, and she talks about the when the perfect comes and how that is the answer for the secessionist argument. Very good information. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what you're saying, because with the New Age to Word of Faith, and you know, I don't know, I mean, maybe someone out there has done the research and knows this, but I was in the Word of Faith after I had gotten to 2 years after becoming a Christian, when I got to college, and I don't remember seeing so much of a New Age influence then, but I was seeing it in more conservative churches. It was coming in, but they were somewhat more the charismatic, still charismatic, but they weren't the Word of Faith that I saw the New Age seeping in. And I wonder how much of it, like, did it start in the charismatic or the Word of Faith circles? I don't know.
Well, the New Age influence, I think, has heavily come out of the Jesus Calling series, because that popularizes trans-channeling and having this different Jesus and different gospel. And it seems to be comforting. Women love it because it paints this kind of quasi-romantic view of Jesus, who's your BFF. And a lot of the teachings in Jesus Calling are about visualization, about gaze into my eyes, and very occultic, subtle influences that came through Sarah Young. Yes. So I think that was a really big turning point for the church. And then allowing idolatry to come in, that is New Age idolatry, like the essential oil movement has been seen as a way for Christian women to make some extra pocket money. But they're selling, it's like a Trojan horse, because of course there's distilled oils in the Bible, and God made the flowers that led to the oils, but the essential oil movement has a lot of veiled New Age promises, such as you buy this bottle called Abundance from Young Living, and they promise you that if you use the oil, you're going to attract and manifest money into your life. That's witchcraft. Mm. That's New Age.
Yeah.
And they say, use this joy essential oil blend. You'll have joy in your life. You'll have forgiveness with the forgiveness blend. But it's allowed in the church because these are women who don't know enough about New Age to spot that. And that's where people like Marsha Montenegro and Jen Nizza and myself are calling this out, often getting a lot of pushback because this is their favorite thing. And then the other big thing that I get a lot of hate mail about is yoga. I did yoga for over 20 years in the New Age. I would not step on a yoga mat today because it is violation of the first and second commandment. Each of the yoga poses, which is a Hindu worship practice, each of the yoga poses or asanas are using your body to become a graven image to mimic a different Hindu god or goddess or a plant or something like the moon or a flower. And there's an embeddedness to it that it is glorifying a god with your body instead of, as we're commanded, glorifying God with our body. And you can't. There's this study that was done by Candy Gunther Brown. She's charismatic, but she is a sister in Christ, and she's really researched what happens when women get involved with yoga. She's found that the average woman got into yoga for stretching and exercise and health and relaxation, and she found that in 6 months, they were embedded in the spirituality of yoga, even if they use psalms or hymns while you're singing, you know, doing yoga, or Bible verses, and you never say namaste, you don't say om, all those blasphemous Sanskrit sayings of yoga. It is a spiritual practice, and it does open doorways. So we can stretch. Stretching is good. Exercise is good. But the sun salutation series, I just want to give you one example if we have a moment, because this is so important. So every yoga class, no matter what, has a series of movements called the sun salutation series, which in itself is sun worship. But one of the poses in particular is a good example of what I'm talking about. It's called Virabhadrasana, or Warrior 1, 2, and 3. And you've seen women do this. They have their arms straight out. And what they're doing, asana means pose. It's the pose of Virabhadras, who was one of the sons of Shiva, who's one of the counterfeit trinity of Hinduism. They have 3 million gods, but they have a trinity, Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. And so Shiva had a son named Virabhadras, and he was sent out as a warrior to avenge the death of his wife. And so the warrior poses of the sun salutation series are not natural stretches. First of all, they're unnatural, but they're you're mimicking a murder scene with your body of a Hindu god. Hmm. I mean, it's just shocking. If you really break down what each pose means, you would never do it again as a professing Christian.
That's I know a lot of professing Christians that do yoga because they think that they can divorce the religious aspect from the physical, and as you just said, they can't do that because each mm-hmm. one of those poses is actually it's a torture pose to get you into the act of worship of a specific deity. You
know, that's right. That's cannot be redeemed. It absolutely cannot be redeemed. Stretching is good. Exercise, absolutely important, but not the yoga poses, even if you call it holy yoga. Yep. Even the woman who started holy yoga has some very troubling theology.
Yeah. So
we should stay away from it.
Yeah. Let me address that. So I went to a church years ago where the pastor was actually on the board at holy yoga and his wife taught it. Okay. And so he got on the board because he was more, he wanted to see them use it for evangelism. And, you know, and his wife was, you know, using it for that purpose. And so, but he discovered that they had a lot of teachers who were lesbians. And so he was like, this can't happen. And they had people on the board who some, I guess, didn't have a problem with it or whatnot. And, but, you know, he kind of cleaned up the board, but, you know, they're making so much money that they had to basically decide. The government was saying you have to be for profit. And so he got off the board because what happened was he wanted it to be that the nonprofit that has the accountability is over the for profit. And the founder did it the other way where there's less accountability. Okay. So this has become a major moneymaker. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Including the company that puts the mandatory yoga in public schools for elementary children. And it's called the Joyce Foundation. And they actually pay the schools to let them put the classes in there. And we have documentation that they're doing it to evangelize Hinduism to children.
Yeah.
And they have the kids saying namaste, which is a blasphemous statement that the God within me recognizes and honors the God within you.
Exactly.
And saying om, which supposedly is the vibration of the universe. And indoctrinating these kids. And I've talked with moms, several moms, who said that their kids, when they got involved with yoga, suddenly started having demonic nightmares and bedwetting, and they could no longer focus. So it's not making the kids calmer like it promises. Their grades aren't going better. And then another man that I interviewed, a doctor down in San Diego, a Christian doctor, he said that he's getting lots of cases of children getting injured from yoga because their bodies can't handle the stretches that are involved, as well as adults getting injured from it. So yoga just is not something that any professing Christian should be involved in.
There's a question wanted to pop up here.
I was going to.
For Doreen. Rebecca Berschwinger. She's Doreen.
So hold on. Before you get, let me say who she is so folks know. She is one of our podcasters on the Christian Podcast Community, has a podcast called One Little Candle. And if you listen to Theology Throwdown that we just released this week, she was on there as we talked about the situation with Israel. So. Now go ahead and read it.
Okay. So, and Rebecca, you need to reach out to Doreen and get her on your podcast. Doreen, have you heard of the praise moves, the Christian alternative to yoga? And if so, what are your thoughts on it? I'm going to be honest and upfront. The reason that I want to have this discussion personally, since I've come in and Andrew drugged me in, No. Since I
didn't drug you in with anything. I don't drug people.
But the reason I'm on here is I have friends of mine that are in yoga, and they claim to be Christian, and they will not listen to me talk about this at any time. So if they can listen to somebody else influence and teach them about it, I praise the Lord for it.
Is that like how you won't listen to us talk about how Pfizer was, you know, bad with the vaccines? Too soon. Well, still too soon.
Which one's demonic? So okay, you go ahead.
And by the way, Rebecca is saying she would love to have you on.
Well, it's so nice to meet you, Sister Rebecca. And yes, I have done a little bit of research on praise moves, but the trouble is I don't have it in front of me right now, so I don't want to misquote. But there was a reason why I dug into it and then did not recommend it. But I cannot remember exactly what the reason is at this moment.
Too many things to study and research.
There's a lot. Yeah. I just know that I
found something troubling on there that caused me not to recommend it. I do remember that. If someone wants to stretch, I would be more inclined to recommend the stretching that physical therapists give injured clients, which I've used. My mom had to go through physical therapy, so I started using those stretches where you're in a doorway and you lean into it. And they're very neutral. There's no spiritual component to them at all.
Now,
and I think that's what we need to be doing.
I wonder, so I have a background in martial arts. And back when I started, it was very much tied to, the Eastern religion as well. And people said you couldn't redeem it. And they're like, people told me I wasn't saved because I was doing martial arts and things like that. And there were some places where they did get into all the spiritual stuff, but most did not. And I think now it's completely removed from any of that. I mean, you have different styles, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu doesn't have any of that. I wonder if there is some where it can be redeemed in a sense of as being seen as just stretching. But you're saying it would have to be removed from all of the specific positions.
Without a spiritual component. Spiritual component. Because this is the thing. Why do we have to call it holy yoga? We don't have to argue and justify baseball. There's no holy baseball or holy volleyball or holy swimming. Well, why yoga? Because people know deep down that it's violating God's law.
Yeah.
Well, and every time you're talking about yoga in any of the forms that are being made out, all the forms are worship. All the forms. I mean, so if you rename it, it doesn't matter. If instead of just saying, namaste, so you say, bless you or whatever, and you're intending the meaning behind it. That's where you have to look at what's the meaning behind those things.
It's funny you say that, Pastor Justin, because women argue with me all the time about this, and I'm not going to back down, so don't even try to change my mind. But one of the things they tell me is, God knows my heart, God knows my intention, and you know what I say to them? I say, yes, he does, and you should be scared of that.
That's right. That's
you're in rebellion right here.
Yeah. I mean, he does know our heart. He knows that every time we lust, he considers that adultery. Every time we're angry, he considers that murder. He does know our heart, and that should cause us to be afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We shouldn't use that as a justification of sinning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember somewhere he said something along the lines of the heart being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I would not want to use that as a justification for whatever sin that I can conjure up and then try to Christianize it. I mean, but you got to think, Christians around the world, and I'll say especially in America, love to Christianize sinful things in the world. There's a lot of love for, Christianizing sinful things and trying to say it's okay. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. And it just shows where their heart is for the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, Christians will want me to go to Paul saying that the meat that was praised over in the pagan temples is an example of how yoga can be redeemed. And that doesn't even anyway match up with yoga. And he also, Paul says that if it would cause someone to stumble, he would not eat the meat. And a woman who's a professing Christian going to yoga class could easily cause someone to stumble because what she's doing is she's saying, Christians can do a pagan practice. And maybe she's in a very innocuous place, taking yoga in a YMCA where there's no plaques of Om or statues of Hindu gods. But that person who sees her and knows she's a Christian doing yoga might end up in a yoga studio. And those are dens of paganism. That's where I spent over 20 years. There are Shiva statues and Buddha statues, and you pray to those statues. You do guided meditations that are occultic and new age, called Shavasana or the corpse pose in those places. It's, you don't want to cause someone to stumble.
So, you know, I'm going to take it again to the martial arts, because people made claims like that with martial arts. And here's the thing though. There was a time where people who would do karate, that would be the case. There was a time here in America where it definitely had a spiritual component to it. And there was some that, you know, a Christian shouldn't be doing. And there was a time when it had that connotation. It doesn't have it now, so I wouldn't have an issue with people doing it now. However, yoga hasn't removed that connotation yet.
No, they brag about it, actually.
Yeah. So for people that make the argument, I don't think it holds, because it still has that connotation. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's not spiritually neutral.
Yeah.
And go get some physical therapy books, or go online and find what a physical therapist says for stretching. And it's actually, I think, more pleasant than yoga practice.
And they do have places that do stretching. I mean, people say, well, they want to do it as a group. There's places that they'll do group stretching. Yeah. So, you know, so some of the things, let me just rattle off some things that we had here, Justin. It says here, hey, Justin, nice to see you back on the show. See, you were missed. And Melissa says, miss you, JP.
Oh.
See, you were missed. And you know, I made a crack, so Mr. Tracy is saying, is he saying Pfizer is not demonic?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think Pfizer is demonic, but since, you know, someone's wife works there, you know, they may not agree.
the thing is what you're conflating with demonic. See, there's a logical fallacy, it's called conflation. And what you're doing is you're saying something's demonic, and so the implication is that the entire business and all the people are demon possessed. Well,
no, see, Mr. Tracy is saying that. What I'm saying is that their company just knew what they were doing, and since they've said that now. You know, just saying. Okay. So, Andrew says, he's from down under in Australia. So he says, what gets me is that these people seem to be able, this back to the demonic, stuff we're talking about with I hate getting older. The words just escape me.
Deliverance ministry.
Yeah. He says, what it gets me is that these people seem to be able to identify when others have a demon in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they can't notice, like, if they have a demon in themselves, right? Kevin is saying here, Kevin says, glad to see Doreen on here. I've been following her since I got saved out of the new age.
Oh, well, praise the Lord for saving you also out of new age, bro.
Kevin, I would say you need to come in here and share that yourself. That's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, you know, this is the thing, like, this is, so let's talk a little bit more, and I noticed a little bit ago, Justin, when you came in, that Cole dropped. For regulars that, you know, of the show, Cole hasn't been seen for a while. Last week we mentioned that, and he popped back in, which was good, and I was about to go to him just as Justin came in, and he dropped. So sorry about that, Cole. So let's deal a little bit with the new age. The one of the things that I find is that the teachings of what we call New Age, we see it in a lot, right? We see it in the Eastern religions. We see it in Gnosticism. This isn't a new thing. It's something that it appeals to people's flesh. It appeals to people's just wanting to feel good. Mm-hmm. I think it, and this is a generalization, I get it, but it seems to be more attractive to the women, being more feeling based, but it's got this connotation, I believe, and you're the expert, you could tell me if I'm wrong. What I think it does for many people is give this feeling and this thought as if they're superior. They're enlightened. They have a little bit more. And so when someone like me criticizes it, I'm not enlightened. I'm not as smart as them, or I'm not as enlightened as them, is what they would say. And therefore, they don't really give a lot of credence to what I would say. Now, I guess in your case, Doreen, they can't say that because you believed it, taught it, and you know, did seminars or whatnot on this. So, but I think I guess what I'm saying is, it seems that they have an emotional reaction when you criticize this, very, very much of the way I think that many charismatics have an emotional reaction when you say that you believe the gifts have ceased, because they tie up their spirituality with their experience. And so if you're saying the experience isn't good, it's, you know, they tie those together. And I think that I get the sense, or I always have, that New Age is similar in that way, that people tie their spirituality to this enlightenment that they think they have. And so if their beliefs in New Age are wrong, it seems like that leads to the thinking of, well, then I'm not an enlightened person, but I want to be enlightened. Sound fair?
So it's very, very narcissistic. I mean, it's Genesis 3 on eternal repeat, where this promise of
you're going to have to repeat that, because that was great. I had never heard that before, and I love that.
Well, it is. It's that promise of secret wisdom that you're going to get, and you'll be better than someone else. And I was living proof of that. I thought I was a Christian, but I called myself an open-minded Christian. And I thought that the born-again evangelicals were fear-based, guilt-based, and closed-minded. And I didn't know about the narrow path back then. You have to be closed-minded. You have to. So I get that now. But at the time, I was just like you were describing, Andrew. I thought I was superior. And even more, the gospel was shared to me throughout my life. I mean, I grew up in the 60s when there would be gospel preaching pastors on TV, regular TV. And even Billy Graham, with his ecumenical issues, would go on Johnny Carson and share the gospel back then. I mean, so I was exposed to it. My neighbors were mostly Baptists, and I actually went to a Baptist VBS as a child with my next door neighbor. So, but the thing is, you are brainwashed in the New Age to believe that if you have any negative thoughts, something horrible is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like how kids say, if you step on the crack in the sidewalk, it'll break your mother's back. It's like that. And so you just have this complete phobia, which in itself is negative, to negative thinking. So if you came up to me as a New Ager, Andrew, I would have been defensive, because I would have thought that you had negative thoughts, so you're therefore inferior. You don't get it.
Yeah.
That your negative thoughts are creating your problems. And that's why I couldn't see that I was a sinner and couldn't be saved until God used Deuteronomy 18 to convict me, to see that, oh, it's right here in black and white. I am a sinner. I have broken God's laws. I'm a detestable abomination to God. I didn't know that for 59 years of my life, because I was just told that I'm perfect, whole, and complete. God, we would rest on Genesis 1:26, that we were made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore God's sinless, God's perfect, so I'm in his image and likeness, I'm sinless, I'm perfect too.
Yeah. And this is
amazing about the whole discussion here is how it ties. And I keep tying it back to what I've been studying with the Pentecostal charismatic movement. They have what's called the positive affirmation movement, where you can speak truth. You can speak things into existence. And if you speak positively, you can speak to yourself wealth. You can speak to yourself, you know.
And that's what Joel Osteen writes about.
Joel Osteen, yeah. But you think about that. It's the same thing you're talking about. So I was actually watching a video from Ligonier, from W. Robert Godfrey, and he talks about the Pentecostalism in his new church history survey. And he was talking about the history of the these movements, and saying that they're all appealing to something that is innate in every person, and that's a desire to find and know God on their own, apart from by their own effort, but apart from the inner working of the Holy Spirit, the way God truly does it. You know, they would say that they're seeking after God, or they're seeking, they're speaking spiritual enlightenment or whatever. And he would say, he says that that is, it's so tied into emotionalism that is why, that's the catalyst for all of this, is that we are so emotional, or a lot of people are so emotional about, you know, about their, you know, their felt, their feelings, they experience something. And since they've experienced these things, you're not, unless the Holy Spirit does something, you're not going to, you know, talk them out of this experience they had. Yeah. They've had the fire of the Lord. They had a fire tunnel at Bethel Church. They had, you know, Chris Voliton talk to them about, you know, smoking the spirit, or smoking the, toking the spirit. Or
oh, I think he's smoking something.
Oh, yeah. Talk about this stuff, you know, and it's so tied in with New Age Spiritism, and it's so much a part of it. But if you go back to people like Dowie, John Alexander Dowie, you go back to Smith Wigglesworth. I heard you talk about him just a minute ago earlier. You know, you mentioned him, and I think you have some well knowledge. These guys were spiritists. They were not Christians. Right. You know, you had Kathleen Kuhlman. You know, these guys were calling themselves God. They were saying that they were Isaiah. They were channeling demons. They were channeling everything. They said you could manifest anything you wanted to manifest. You know, your words had power and meaning. You could do anything you wanted. And that's what we're seeing in all of these different movements, you know, and it comes, you know, it comes out of this positive affirmation
movement. It does. Yeah, I did some research on the law of attraction, which is something that's been popularized from the Secret, the book and the movie. Secret.
Yep.
Right. And so the history of that is that there was a spiritualist, a medium named Andrew Jackson Davis in the 1800s, I think it was 1846, who wrote a book about the law of attraction. And then 11 years later, a Russian spiritualist named Helena Blavatsky, who was a Satanist, also she wrote a book called Isis Unveiled, which was a best-selling book, and it talked about the law of attraction. Use that phrase in there. Wow. And the book also said in a Gnostic way that Lucifer was an unsung hero, that was he was a misunderstood hero. And the, you know, just complete Satanism along with law of attraction. And it reminds me of what you're saying, Pastor Justin, that this whole putting us on the seat of God as the creator is part of the New Age movement, that you're in charge. Your thoughts create your reality. Your positive thoughts create positive outcome. Your negative thoughts create negative outcome. Now, the Bible does say that in Proverbs that a cheerful spirit is good medicine. So there's nothing wrong with being optimistic, but this is idolatry of yourself. And, you know, when you look at Job, the final chapters where God says in essence to Job, where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? That's the kind of humbling we need as New Agers, because we start to think that we are God, we're goddesses, and particularly when we know God is omnipresent, that was a big thing we talked about in New Age. God's everywhere. We were pantheists and panentheists. So we said, well, God's in us, therefore we are God too. It was so scary that we believed that way. Praise the Lord for opening my eyes to the gospel.
It's a very, you know, here, let me find it. Dee said, here it is. Dee says, it's very self-focused, appealing to the selfish desires. And I think that's why it's popular. You know, Humble Clay says, sounds like psychological abuse. And yeah, it is, but this is not unique in that. So Melissa Lex, and Melissa Lex, by the way, is another one of the Christian podcasts, community podcasters. Her show is called Thoroughly Equipped, and it is a show devoted to really going through women's ministries materials and kind of exposing some of the issues there. So I think that, hey, Melissa, you may want to have Doreen on it with the series you've been doing. Just saying, I think it would fit in well. All right, she says, New Agers not only feel they are in the quote unquote no, but God resonates within and are connected to the universal Christ, they are little gods. And this is the thing, this is why I titled the show Unveiling the New Age Movement, yeah. Because the veil that people have that I see is this idea that I could be God, I could be like God, or I am like God. It's just how enlightened I am, how much I accept that. And that's the deception of it. That's in the those who are using these ideas within Christianity, they want to hide that part of it. They don't always want to come right out and say it. You'll have people that teach the little God doctrines and then deny that they teach it.
Oh yeah,
right. I've seen that.
So
yeah, and so the New Agers, if you ask a lot of them, they will say that they love Jesus also.
Sure.
And so when you're evangelizing to a New Ager, they'll say, well, what's the problem? I love Jesus. I follow him too. And the follow-up question needs to be, well, who is Jesus to you?
Yeah, which Jesus?
Which Jesus?
The figment of your imagination. Of course he's going to like you. You're going to like him. You made him up.
Yesterday I was talking to a woman who is a Kabbalist. She follows the Kabbalah.
Yeah.
And she started to argue with me that Jesus also had studied the Kabbalah. This is big in the New Age. Jesus' so-called lost years between 12 and 30.
Those silent years, isn't it?
The silent years, yeah. So in her mind, Jesus studied the Kabbalah.
That's really amazing since that's before Kabbalah started.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, see, this was her argument, and I've heard this before, that they argue that the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scripture, and that the Kabbalah predates the Bible. And they always want to say that, and it's not true historically. And then they want to rip apart the Bible, that Constantine took out parts about reincarnation, and the Roman Catholic Church took out parts, and there's lost books. They always want to diminish the Bible's authority.
You know, I may have to agree with them, though, because there is a part of it that predates the Bible, where they got the teaching from. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field, which fled the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, quote, indeed, has God said to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden, unquote. And a woman said that to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees, God said we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said you shall not eat of it or touch it. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die, quote, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, unquote. So in that sense, I might have to agree with them. It does predate the Bible, not God, but the Bible, when Satan was teaching this, right? He's teaching that they're going to be enlightened, right? Is that not what he says, right? Your eyes will be opened. You're going to be enlightened. You're going to be like God. You're going to know good from evil. This is the New Age
Yeah, the argument is that because something's older, I mean, Abraham came out of the Chaldean Ur.
He
was a polytheist, probably, because of that whole culture. But they're arguing that if something's older, it's therefore more valid.
Which, see, right there, though, as we're seeing, here is something older, and it's coming right from Satan.
Yeah.
And so, does that make it better? No. What should concern them is the fact that, as I just read, right, their teaching comes right out of the mouth of Satan.
There you go.
That should be concerning. This is what I say to Mormons all the time when they say they're going to be God of their own planet.
No.
And I'll say, you know where we see that in the Bible? And they're like, no, where? I go, out of the mouth of Satan in Genesis 3.
Yes.
You have a demonic teaching. It's not good.
Well, you know, Kenneth Copeland, he says, you know, whenever I read where God says I am, I smile and say, yes, I am too. And I tell you what, he says that all the time, you know, and you know, it's that little God's doctrine is everywhere.
Here's the thing for folks. I mean, like, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking of people who, you know, okay, we cringe at this and, you know, we have a tendency, or maybe it's just me, not you guys. I have a tendency to say, man, what's going to be like for that guy on Judgment Day, right? And there's a part of us that wants to see God's justice, you know, tear them down. But on another note, I mean, think about this, is what will it be like for many of these people on Judgment Day? When they suddenly come face to face with God and he is going to judge them for all of eternity because of their belief that they could be God, and he's going to explain there's only one God and they're not it, and then they're going to be judged for all eternity. And that's very concerning. I mean, that's why this is, it's extremely deceitful. It's very much deceiving. And the problem with it is that these people get wrapped up into it, and it is hard to pull yourself out when you convince yourself you're God. You know,
when you've had an emotional experience where you think that you've touched God, talked to God, visited with God.
Yeah.
When you've had that, I mean, I watched Todd Bentley at the Lakeland Revival, and this has been a while back, but it's still his, what he taught has affected so many people. Bill Johnson is still saying it and everything else. He said that there were little children that were having trips to heaven, and they were visiting with Jesus and coming back and being anointed to little children. And he said, you know, we've got one 5-year-old. He said, we got one 5-year-old boy in here, and they had an audience of more than 10,000 people in that arena that he had. Bill Johnson, Mike Bickle, all these guys were right there. And he said, there's a little 5-year-old running around here, and he is anointing people with the anointing oil from God. And they shouted and screamed and prayed and praised God and did music worship for no less than 45 minutes. Send the oil, send the oil, send the oil, send the oil, send the oil. And people were pouring anointing oil. You're talking about this oils. They're pouring this anointing oil thinking it's giving them spirit power. They have these little kids that are, you know, doing all this stuff. And it's still affecting people today. I mean, you know, you have the New Age, the Charismatic movement, and the Pentecostal movement is the largest denominational, quote unquote, movement in all of, quote, Christianity today.
Well, you know, Justin, the thing is, if I was in a service like that, where they're just saying anointing oil, bring the oil, over and over again, that would probably put me to sleep. You know, and so, you know, so really, if I was going to go to one of those places, you know what I should do? I should go to My Pillow and get myself a good pillow before going to one of these services.
There you go.
And use the promo code SFE to not only get my discount off of that good pillow, but also support Striving for Eternity at the same time. Because if they're going to put me to sleep, I might as well have a good pillow to sleep on. Just saying.
There you go.
Now, see, Doreen's not used to how I do transitions into our sponsors. So if you need yourself a good pillow, you know, you want to get a robe. I'm getting different gifts for Christmas. This is unique Christmas ideas. You got towels. They got robes. They got the mattress topper for the person you really love, because that's, you know, I'll just say that I do have an interview coming up on the Rap Report, and I was interviewing a pastor, and he said, when I got done explaining My Pillow, he says, hey, can I give a plug for your sponsor? And he said they've had the same bed since they got married, and he made the decision he either gets a new bed or he just went to My Pillow and got their 3-inch mattress topper. And he said it was like having a brand new bed again.
Yeah.
So he goes, my husband, much cheaper.
All he'll sleep with is a My Pillow. I got him a fancy new pillow, and he's like, "Where's my pillow?" He made me go get it and bring it back.
Yeah. I travel with mine. It's packed in the bag right there, waiting for Texas. So yeah, nice. I'll take mine with me. Even when I went to Israel and I was limited to one bag, the pillow made it. Nice. So there you go.
One thing I want to talk about, guys, for just a moment, is this growing goddess movement that's coming up. It's an outbranch of the New Age, with women who primarily tell me they've been abused by a man in their life, Mm-hmm. And so they're rejecting and they're not trusting men. And they see that Christianity is patriarchal with the male pronouns. And they, so they want to worship something, and they go and they worship goddesses. And it's a nature-based theology where you go outside and you, it's panentheistic, where you think God or goddess is within the trees, and you worship the moon, which is supposed to be feminine. I was in the goddess movement for about a decade, and it is something that I think is the church needs to pray about and be aware of it, and counsel women who've been abused that there are men that are trustworthy and that our Father God is not like those men who hurt her.
Yeah. And so, you know, I know we only have about 15 minutes. There's some things I did want to get to on here. Well, first off, I'll just put this one up. Melissa Lex from Thoroughly Equipped says, I would love, all caps, love to have Doreen on. So we'll have to make sure that we set that up.
We'll make you busy, Doreen.
Trying to get her busy.
My whole life is, you know, I was hellbound and God saved me. So anything I can do to glorify God, I'm all in.
Well, we'd love to have you come back on, and, you know, if you have more stuff to talk about, because I tell you, I know that, you know, and you and I have been friends on Facebook, you know, we met, I don't know how, this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I believe it's been 2 years ago. We met and I came on the show with you, and that was such a blessing for me, you know, just to be able to come on and talk with you. And I've seen so much of the work that you've done. And I know that you have a strong passion for, you know, especially for the ladies, for women, you know, men and women, but for you, I know that you don't try to step out and say, hey, let me go teach everybody, but you're trying to help so many people see the danger of this, of these movements. And it's so needed.
It's so needed. My heart breaks for the lost New Agers because I was there.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have a question on that soon. So
there's so many people that are talking like of these prayer labyrinths in their churches, then the what is that called, anagrams?
I wanted to get to that too, because there was a question we had on that as well. See, there's a lot to do. Now,
I would love to talk about the Enneagram real quickly.
Because I mean, that would be one that is affecting a lot. And I know Melissa did a show on that on her podcast as well.
Yeah. Well, my background, of course, is that I have a BA and an MA in psychology and a master's in theology. And so as a psychotherapist, I used to do personality tests on people, and some legitimate ones like the MMPI is legitimate. But the Enneagram was the brainchild of a man who was a trans-channeler, an occultist, who he actually didn't care whether he was talking. He said this, he wrote this, it's on his website. He's deceased now, but his writings are there, that he didn't care if he was talking to a demon or not. He just wanted the information. So he trans-channeled, and I have a video clip of him admitting this, the 9 Enneatypes. And he brought those in, and those are a doctrine of demons that people are saying is Christian, because the marketing behind the Enneagram has been this lie that's been exposed that it was from some ancient monk. And even that, why would the church pay attention to some ancient monk? But the reason they like the Enneagram is it's a self-focus, self-glory. Mm-hmm. Who am I? What's my identity? When our identity is, are you saved or not? Am I a child who's adopted by God or not? That's all that matters.
Yeah.
But instead, the Enneagram elevates you and says, oh, I'm a 1. Really? Well, I'm a 2. Yeah. Oh, we're compatible. And it's just, it's psychobabble and New Ageism, the worst of both.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get through some of these just with the time we have. And by the way, folks, you heard the way Justin said that to Doreen. We have to have you back on, which means we expect to see Justin back on, right? Just saying. All right. So,
As soon as I finish my paper, I'm coming back in.
So yeah, sure.
I've just got a week or two.
Didn't Justin Peters did his thesis on the Charismatic Church also?
On Benny Hinn. Yeah. KT says, all that repetition, like transcendent meditation or something. It's just repetition.
And you know who started that? Catherine Coleman. She actually brought a band in. And it was hours of mantra, just drum beats and everything else. And that's what she did for hours. And then she would come in and that's where Benny Hinn got his, I mean, he has videos where he goes to her grave and he's bowing down and he's worshiping at her grave, the Lord, because it's not her that he's worshiping. But, you know, he's doing this for hours, talks about her and her influence on his life, and he models her.
Yeah. So let me put this up, because we got a prayer request that came in. Leslie said, please pray for my daughter who is in Wicca. So folks, Leslie is asking for prayer for her daughter. I know folks out there already mentioned they're praying. So I've two quick things left is Kevin says, Doreen, would you say that psychics are generally communicating with demons impersonating dead people?
That's a great question and something I usually address. So I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Kevin. I was a psychic. I was a stage psychic who was talking to people I'd never met, and I was getting accurate information that I couldn't have known, like names of their deceased loved ones, what their career was, just how someone died next to them. And all that information was coming from demons. Absolutely. 100%. Second Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 are in view, because it says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And I would say that includes pretending to be our deceased loved ones. And then 15 is people like I was seemed to be servants of righteousness, but we were servants of the devil at the same time. And so I was channeling, unbeknownst to me, demons, and giving people what seemed to be comfort, but it was messages that were not passing Apostle John's test of the spirits from 1 John 4, Amen. Where we were not pointing people to the biblical Jesus in these readings. We were not pointing them to Bible study or to join a biblically solid local church. So we failed the test of the spirits.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, there's a little side note. This is one thing I love about our audience. If you're not watching this show live and in the chat on YouTube, you're missing out. But Leslie just gave an update, and all the people are praying or mentioning they're praying, and that's what I love about this audience. If you mention a prayer request, the audience is praying right away. But and Leslie said thank you. Her daughter's also choosing a lesbian lifestyle. She wasn't raised that way.
That's the Wicca movement, though. It's all women. It's all about goddess and divine feminine. And it's woman obsessed. But it's interesting. If you ask them, they all believe in reincarnation, and they will admit that they might come back as a man, even though there's no such thing as reincarnation.
Yeah.
But you can kind of put a stone in their shoe with that question.
Yeah. So let me end with this question that was asked. And this is, regular listeners, you know, this is where I would have wanted to end anyway, so I'm glad this was asked. But Barry Moss is saying, please discuss how to witness to these lost souls.
Yeah, well, of course, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, so they need to hear the gospel, even if they reject it. People who were telling me the gospel, I would get so mad at, but God's word does not return void, so they need to hear the gospel. And one of the best ways, I think, to share the gospel with a New Ager is listen for any, if they do admit there's problems, they rarely will, but you might just pick up there's some problems and say, can I pray with you? And New Agers love to be prayed over. And part of it's narcissism, you know, pay attention to me. And while you're praying with them out loud, whether you're with them physically or not, but they need to hear this, put the gospel in that prayer. Mm-hmm. Or pray grace before you eat and be bold for the gospel. Mm-hmm. Put it clearly into saying grace and trust that that's the seed we're to plant and God does the rest.
Yeah, that's a really good point is, you know, people really, they... Even if they're going to reject the gospel, they won't usually reject someone praying for them. I was down in Florida, and a pastor there's a very, very wealthy Jewish man, and the pastor, this wealthy man's secretary would go to his church, so he was able to set up a meeting. And the, you know, they brought a missionary that was a missionary of Jewish people because they wanted to try to get the gospel to this gentleman. And so since I happened to be in town, they said, hey, you want to come? So it's their show. I'm going to let them, right? They had it set up. I was going to let them talk and whatnot. And they were just shutting these guys down. I mean, he wanted none of it. He's willing to sit there and talk. and he's being polite. And so, you know, I took a little bit of a different tact, being that, you know, he's in real estate, my father's in real estate, and they live in the same state, and he actually knew of my father. And so, you know, I kind of used that to start talking. But when we went to leave, I just turned to him. I said, because he just did not want to hear the gospel at any you know, attempts. So I said, can I just pray for you before we leave? And he's like, oh, sure. And so I did, like you said, I just prayed the gospel message. And, you know, he sat there, and, you know, he's not going to interrupt. He, like, everyone's eyes are closed, right? They're not going to interrupt you, right? Mm-hmm. And if they do, you just keep going, right? And so it's a great way to share the gospel with someone that is that way. And so, and when we say, well, like, what is the gospel? Maybe someone's listening because you saw a New Age, and you're actually saying, hey, I don't like anything that I'm hearing tonight because I disagree with all of it. Well, and you're hearing me talk, or and Doreen talk about the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is really this. It's the fact that you and I, even though you as a listener may be a far more moral person than I am, the reality is both of us have broken God's law. Both of us rightly deserve God's justice, which means, because he's infinitely holy and infinitely just, it means we have an infinite consequence. So we deserve to be punished forever. And so because of that, we could never pay that debt off. We can never pay the punishment, but God. Those are two great words in the Bible, but God. He came to earth as a man. Being an eternal being, he could pay an eternal fine. Becoming a man, having never broken the law, he could pay the fine for us. He could be a substitute. That's what makes Jesus unique, is that he could come to earth, and who he is, he could pay that fine, not only for me, but for many others. He could do that for you. Or he's done that, because it was at the cross. But you have to turn from trusting yourself. Stop thinking that you could be God. Stop thinking you could do good work. Stop trusting in your good nature. None of that's going to get you right with God. We have to turn to Christ and trust what he did on that cross as the only payment of sin. So we turn from self and turn to Christ. And I know if you're in the New Age movement, that is really hard to do, to turn away from self, because so much of the New Age movement is about self. But that's the problem. That's what's going to condemn you to an eternal lake of fire if you don't turn to Christ. So my plea with you is that you would do that, that you'd be as Doreen has done, to come out of that movement and to come to know the true biblical Jesus and to have a saving, loving relationship with him. Then, you know, we would call you brother or sister, you know, as Doreen did with Kevin earlier. We'd love to hear that testimony. If that is you, even if, you know, if you're the one that's saying, hey, guess what? I'm New Age. I still disagree. You could come in next week and let's talk about it, because, you know, we'd love to hear your side. Look, this show, anyone who watches this show regularly, you know, we let people explain their views. When we had the gentleman that wanted to promote gay Christianity, I didn't cut him off. We didn't get to his 8 pages of notes because we kept trying to get to definitions, and he was too wishy-washy on definitions, and we couldn't get a clear definition. But the reality is, we'll let you, you know, say what you think and explain your views. But we're gonna critique it and address it too. So, but you have a welcome invitation to come in. So, Doreen, I want to thank you for coming in. I hope this was very enlightening for folks in a biblical way, that is. But there's a whole lot that this New Age Eastern mysticism has weaved its way into Christianity in, like, so many different ways that we're talking about tonight that some people may not have even realized. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want to encourage you, though, with... You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, you were living this way for 59 years and you know, now you're saved. And, you know, God brought you through that because you are able to have an impact that Pastor Justin can't have, I can't have. I can't speak with the same authority on these issues that you can. And so God has raised you up uniquely in this way. And not unique, like you're the only New Ager that can do that came out of New Age that can do this. I mean, others as well. But I want to encourage you that even though you spent so much time in it and it might feel like a waste, the reality is that, you know, what this is God bringing you through so you could be a blessing to many of us who didn't go through that but can learn from your all that you have experienced and studied. So thank you.
That's my prayer, is to glorify God with my, and then for him to use my past for his glory. So I appreciate that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been a blessing.
Yeah. So with that, you know, we thank you for coming on. Is there any good way for folks to get a hold of you? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, through Instagram. It's just my name, Doreen Virtue, just the direct messages. It's only me reading and answering, so I'm a little slow, but I try to get to everybody. And if I don't get to you right away, write again and it'll pop to the top. And I answer everyone who's kind. If they're really mean, I just don't answer those anymore. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to answer you. Just don't engage. You know?
Yeah, I was thinking of just getting like an AI program to deal with those.
So Dory, one thing you can do is just send them to Andrew.
Yeah.
He gets all the, I don't get any mean emails from anybody.
You forward them to me. I know.
I do forward a lot of them too, but I do get mean emails too. So
okay. Rebecca says you're going to be hearing from her.
Amen.
And I think God maybe bless. Melissa as well. So Doreen, thanks for coming on, folks. We don't actually have a plan for next week's show, being that, what I may do, I'm just going to let you know, we won't be doing a show on Thanksgiving. Surprise. No. But if the video is ready by next week, I have a debate on Wednesday when I'm out in Dallas with an atheist with the topic of, is Christianity true? So if I have that video by then, what I may do is just re-air that on the show. And if not, we'll do that after Thanksgiving. But and so we'll either air that or do a live Q&A. So an open Q&A. So come prepared with questions just in case. And if not, you'll get to watch a good debate. So with that, just we want to remind you guys to strive to make today an eternal day for the glory of God. And we will see you next time. Bye now.
See you guys.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.